Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Finance Committee Meeting, complete recording, August 6, 2019.
The page after that is really the second set of financial statements in a government. And the general fund is your main operating fund. It's how you do your budgeting. That's mainly most of the operations for the district. And again, this is the modified accrual accounting where capital expenditures are totally expensed and obligations are actually recorded as additional increases to the fund balance. So the general fund balance has gone from about 16.4 in 2015 down to about 14.7 in 2018. The general fund balance in total, 14.6 million, is about 13% of your general fund revenues. And bond rating agencies are looking for anywhere from about 8 to 12% as being a reasonable fund balance. So as far as the fund balance in total, you're hitting that target as far as St. Harbor. It will be an issue, though, if it continues to decrease. And you'll see it, the net change in fund balance. Back in 2015, you actually had a general fund had a surplus of about $3.6 million. It dropped about two-thirds down in 2016, virtually a break-even in 2017, and then a deficit of about $3 million in 2018. And I think you budgeted about $1.6 million of the general fund balance for the 18-19 school year. So if you do hit budget, that general fund balance will continue to decrease. The food service fund, again, we showed the net position or net equity, the income, and really the transfers in 2015 and 2016. Helped to put it into a positive net position. There's been no transfer for the last 2 years. The next page after that, we just showed a detail of your fixed assets and also a summary of the debt obligations. And again, up in the fixed assets, you'll see construction in progress, close to $50 million, which will be put into service during the current year with depreciation expense. Starting out. And the debt obligations, again, dropped a little bit from principal payments between 17 and 18. The last financial page before we talk about the audit itself is the budget to actual for 2018. The revenues came in about $3.3 million, better than budget. However, on the expenditure side, spending was about $6.6 million above budget, which generated about a $3.2 million negative budget to actual for the year. So that's the summary of the financial trends for the district.
Mention is we've issued an unmodified audit opinion. It means it's a clean opinion. We haven't identified any material misstatements in the financial numbers after our audit. And when we say material, there is this concept of materiality in an audit. Obviously, when we come in, we can't look physically at everything. So there's a threshold process established based on some risk assessments and other preliminary decisions that we make in the early stage of the audit to decide what that threshold. Our responsibilities for fraud, we're required to make inquiries. So I know some of you as board members get a questionnaire from us every year. We also send the same questionnaire to the principals of the school and other members of management and also some employees. And what we're looking for is any information related to fraud or potential fraud, basically to tailor our procedures so that if there is an issue in a certain area, we can focus some additional attention there. We're also required to have our own fraud brainstorming session as part of risk assessment and audit. For internal controls, again, it's kind of part of this risk assessment process up front when we're deciding on how much audit testing to actually do. One thing we take into consideration is what the internal controls are like at the district. This includes things like segregation of duties, and that you always want to make sure not one person has pulled over everything in finance function. So we're looking for who has what responsibilities, are they properly segregated, do you have processes to approve your disbursements, is the board performing its management, its oversight of management, and all of those important parts of an internal control system. We perform what's called a single audit, or a federal programs audit. It's testing of the larger programs on a rotating basis. And again, we're issuing an opinion saying there's no material non-compliance with the federal requirements. That's the end result of that audit. So again, in the planning phase, we really focus on things like the fraud brainstorming, review of internal controls. We also look at all the numbers from 1 year compared to the prior year, and make our inquiries of management to really gear our audit towards where the larger risks are located. And then we perform our substantive audit fieldwork. We always start with the trial balance. Our goal is to tie most of the balance sheet items to a supporting schedule provided by Kara and her team. For cash and investments, we look at the bank reconciliations. We also confirm that you have sufficient Act 72 collateral on your cash and investments. For capital assets, we're looking at the material additions put in place during the year. We're looking at those invoices, and we're also recalculating that about $5 million of depreciation that's hitting the books every year. For accounts payable, our focus is on whether or not there are any liabilities that are potentially not recorded. So to do that, we usually look at all the payments that come out after year end and verify they're recorded in the proper period, whether they should be booked back to the prior fiscal year or if they're an upcoming school year expense. Our debt, long-term debt work involves confirmations with the bank, as does a lot of the revenue. We also reconcile the tax revenues to assessment and confirm the collections. And when we perform our audit work on expenses, we use pivot tables. What we're looking at is disaggregated information. So rather than just focus on a certain account balance for the entire year, we're looking at it on a monthly basis. It allows us again to really set an expectation and say, okay, well, most of expenses in this account happen at the beginning of the school year. So that's what we expect, and then if everything falls in place, maybe that's an area for less testing, whereas something that doesn't fall in line with the expectations is where we concentrate more of our efforts. We also use significant amount of data analytics in our audit process, everything from filtering, sorting, and indexing the general ledger. We perform our journal entry testing this way, and journal entry testing is important because that's one area where there's not always a lot of controls. Usually there's one person who can book a journal entry, maybe two or three. And it's also a way for management to override controls, so journal entries are always a focus. Our payroll analysis, subsequent disbursements, and pivot tables are also all done using data analytics software. The last two items on the list are specific to fraud detection. One test we run on a rotating basis is see whether any of your vendors and employees share an address. So for example, if somebody wanted to set up a particular vendor, they're most likely going to use their personal address. So preparing those addresses is just a way we can look for potential fraud in the district. Benford's Law is still not getting into too much detail. There's an expected number of times a first digit will occur in a natural number. So your general ledger, develop an expectation, and we see again if the data is falling into place with that. Our required audit communications, at the end of every audit, we issue our opinion on the financial statements, and again in this case it was an unmodified, clean opinion. We're also required to issue what's called a SAS 114 report, and that's a letter to the audit committee. It basically says, it discusses significant accounting estimates, whether or not we had any disagreements with management, and just some of those overall expectations of an audit. If we had internal control deficiencies to report, they would also be reported in a separate letter. In this case, we did not issue a letter because we had no deficiencies to report. And lastly, we issue our single audit on the federal programs. And this year, for the 17-18 year, we tested the IDEA program. And again, that's done on a rotating basis. The last thing we wanted to discuss is upcoming GASB pronouncements. As Ed mentioned, GASB 75 was implemented in the year that we presented. That was the big $10 million OPEB liability that hit the books on the government-wide statements. So that one's done. It's presented in these numbers and should be smooth going forward. One of the next upcoming ones is GASB 84. It relates to your fiduciary funds. There's some guidance coming out from PDE that we do need to start looking at scholarships, student activities, those types of funds. It's possible they may roll into a special revenue for the general fund. It's really just a presentation thing on the financial statements more than anything. And in addition to that, right now, these funds only show a balance sheet, and upcoming they will show both a balance sheet and P&L activity, revenues and expenses. The last one is a GASB statement on leases. This is going to be a big one. Basically, any asset that's leased, this is everything from your copier and telephone equipment, computers. If you lease a modular unit during construction, it would fall under this. Facility leases as well. What we're going to do is book an asset and a corresponding liability on the financial statements, the government-wide statements, for each and every lease that the school district participates in. The interesting thing, there was a FASB for the for-profit and not-for-profits. They just delayed implementation, mostly because it fell so quickly behind one for revenue recognition that has tripped up a lot of companies and professionals. So we expect that GASB will also delay this statement, but that hasn't happened yet. So that'll be something we'll watch. So those are the upcoming accounting issues that we see coming, and a description of the audit process. Anybody have any questions? That's a lot of numbers.
I understand about it, and what you said. I'm trying to take it all in, and I don't really have any questions yet.
If questions develop, that's more than Karen.
Yeah.
Because we are adding in 4 years of data, so.
Thank you. Under student activities, there's grants, tutors down. Is grants synonymous with revenue? Combination of grants, also revenue from the federal and state government?
That's correct, yes. That deals with again, with the federal and the single audit, but it's called grant for our revenue.
And my next question is, there's reference to an audit committee, and I do not believe we actually have an audit committee.
Yeah, in that case, we treat the finance committee.
Okay. We're also basically the full board, too, is managing the districts. Here's the information, seeing copies of the
those are really my two questions. Thank you.
I have one question about the OPEB.
Yes.
And then that deferred out was. So this massive debt came from a change at the state level related to PISRs and how the liability is shown. Is that?
Unfortunately, the liability is always out there.
Right.
It's just never recorded. But it's coming from the PISRs benefits that are provided to retirees. So PISRs, again, will do their actuarial study. There's a lot of judgment calls in there as far as when someone's going to retire, like life expectancy, if there's deferred benefits. So, but that liability always existed. It was just never recorded on
But if we didn't carry it as a liability, did we? I thought that the Commonwealth, PDE, or the
nobody did at the time.
Body, it was out there. We always had this 34, I think it was 30 billion.
The governmental accounting standards didn't require you to record it until about 5 years ago. So it is it's something national.
Yeah, it was footnoted, and
right.
The state has a matching piece of these things, too.
So lastly, the 180, I'm sorry, the 10 million, 10 point almost 9 million that we're showing, is that the liability based upon retirees, future retirees from our district.
The calculation is based on the current workforce, and then again, how many years they'll work until they retire,
right.
And then what that benefit might be as far as what medical costs may be when they retire, because that's why there's a lot of variables. Pensions more clearly, someone works X number of years, they had X number of dollars.
Right.
But again, it was footnoted in the past, not ever worked on technology. Same with the pensions. If you looked at the financial statement 5 or 6 years ago, there was no pension liability there. So that's just been a huge shift. And I think Gatsby felt that there was a hanging liabilities out there that was just footnoted. And so it was also an easy benefit to give away because you never had the financial statement back to it.
So, last question related to this and the change in accounting that has released this or whatever. So this now drastically increases the amount of liability we show, which could impact us in the future looking for financing.
Probably to the benefit is that most bond rating agencies are aware that it's out there. It's uncontrollable, and they're looking more at the, to be honest, at the general fund that's
operation,
essentially year-to-year operation. You are using the fund balance to balance the budget. So again, this whole, and in fact, Gatsby is actually looking at the government-wide balance sheet because it's becoming overweighted with just all types of items. So we haven't heard from any bond rating people that say that because of the measures, it's the negative impact. They're going to say, what's your general fund balance and how is that been?
When I do rating calls, that question never comes up. They don't fit upon those numbers.
And as I say, I'm looking at this and the massive and rapid growth and just thinking at some point we may have to go out for financing again. And just hoping that that's not going to be held because that'll increase our rate.
Also looking at that as a 30 plus year obligation.
Sure.
You have 22-year-olds and 60-year-olds. Check you have to write tomorrow.
Thank you.
Before we get on that topic, I just wanted to ask about, you mentioned something about the, because the market was doing well on these.
Yeah, so you see some of the liability increases were jumping 14 million or 20 million a year. So it was a modest increase in the 2018 obligation, mainly just the performance of the stocks.
That number could easily.
Yeah, this year's been pretty good so far, last week or so.
So you do want to just a few days.
Sure.
That's all.
Not a question so much as is just in the leading up to this meeting, I wanted to make one thing that was clarifying for me was around the role of the audit and what it is and what it is not, and especially as we as a board and with the administration have been taking a hard look at our budgeting processes and our, not our processes so much as our budget. And as shown in the audit, the trends, and what the audit is helping us do is know that we can trust our number. I don't know who's in the public here, or if I'm just talking to a room full of people that already know this, but it's knowing that we can trust the numbers that we have been told, and that, but it does not necessarily evaluate you are spending things on, you know, it doesn't identify places we can find savings, for example. And that really is the hard work that, that we are all going to be undertaking in the coming weeks and months. So, again, not a question, just I wanted to offer that clarification for anyone in the room who doesn't already know.
Yeah, just, there are three members of the public in
whenever you have a bank account that goes beyond FDIC coverage, the bank has to provide federal collateral on your account. So that's basically the only way that they would get a government type of account. And we confirm that the Act 72 collateral exists for the bank. It's more protection than your cash accounts with them.
There's some lingo that I just want to, for everyone in the room, to be able to do this. GASB, Government Accounting Standards Board.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, okay. Yeah, no problem. And there's a similar one, Financial Accounting Standards Board for everyone else.
Okay.
I mean, there's an account. I'm just showing up.
Things are, things are sort of mirroring each other because, you know, again, the pension liability wasn't on itself right now, it is.
Right.
The lease accounting going forward is going to be the same process for FASB and GASB.
The statement of financial position is what is like a balance sheet, right?
Okay. Yes.
And right. Then the revenues and change in that position is like an income statement. And it shows a net change in position of $10 million this year and last. And that is, does that equate to our use of fund balance, or is there something else that goes into the change in that position?
We're really separate items. The change in that position includes depreciation expense and also the change of the pension and OPEB liabilities,
okay,
which are not cash items like the general fund. If you look at the full financial statement, the page reconciling the general fund to the government wide financial statement, you see it's mainly capitalizing fixed assets and pushing the debt on as a form of liability. But yeah, the main financial itself has that reconciliation page.
So then the change in on the fund level statement, the net change in fund balance is $3,066,000 is our use
of deficit for the year, yes, correct.
And there's a different number on that statement than on the next one. On the second one, on the last statement. General.
Yeah, we stopped before the transfer line.
Okay.
So what you're seeing is the excess compared to budget before transfers in and out.
Okay.
There was about $9 million transfer for debt service. Walk that $6.7 million positive number into the deficit position.
Okay.
So we have a separate fund for debt service, even though during the year we showed debt service on the general fund. When the audit happens, we actually pull the debt service fund. So that all of those during the audit, when you do the financial statements, all of our debt is taken off of the general fund for the audit purpose and put into the debt service. So that's what the transfer would be.
Got it.
So you're basically looking at your budget versus actual before these debt service payments.
And just to clarify what Mr. Scholler added to what Mr. Schultz was saying, you are not looking into the adequacy or efficacy of our budgeting process.
based on, I think you basically see that she each year with those totals on there. So, yes.
There was actually a special.
they're requesting from administrations specifically. Yeah. Any other board?
I will say the key cards in my name, the biggest one, so there was nothing found off of that. Just process is in place.
Nothing was found at that time. It was a peculiar request. You guys don't do Harrisburg, do you?
Thank you.
We have some top districts, but not.
This is great. So that leads me to a question. The bidding on the last two construction projects, if you take a look at the contracts and bids, I think there were a fair number of duplicate vendors.
Vendors
that had to work in several of the
several projects. Yeah, we would have been looking at total pay from year to year, looking at it overall for the most part. Or we did pick one or two bids every year and look at the processes. So they could have been picked as part of that.
Any other board comments, questions? Public. Introduce yourself.
Fred Milford, Elton's Park. So I may have the dates wrong, but
Fred, can you do me a favor? My apologies. Can you talk a little bit louder?
Sure. I apologize.
No, it's not your fault. It's just this thing is ringing on my right side of my ear.
I'll speak up. The board was told that substantially after the closing that the actual dollars were significantly more than was presented at the end of the fiscal year. You're aware of that, correct? Yes? No?
We don't look at the at interim numbers as they go through the year.
Oh, no.
No. Okay. We work off
the chart. So the question is, in the audit process, were you ever told at the point, were you ever told? You had to be when you found out the numbers that these numbers were higher than was. So you had no knowledge of the fact that the numbers were significantly different from the numbers you had seen when you came in to do the audit that was presented to the board?
We don't compare board packets with.
Okay. If my answer, I have no questions then, if that's the answer.
I'm trying to process your question.
Well, I didn't,
in October, I don't need to end it, but I'm fine if you want to end it, but I just didn't understand.
In October, we were told significant numbers for the year end of 18 were much higher than what was presented in June. Correct? Or am I not correct? Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not, at this point, I think this is a deep dive into a question that I'm not prepared to answer right now. Because it's processing. When I present numbers in June, that does not account for the 2 months of expenditures and revenues that are being booked. So you're kind of comparing apples to oranges. We're not going to end in June where we close our books out. That won't happen.
I'm quite aware of that. But right. I think the question was an audit question and relating to the auditors were that it was a significant number difference, correct? Would you say it was a significant difference?
I don't know what my June numbers were, no.
I think it was. I think the board was surprised at the difference between them. So the question is, relating to audit basis and controls, is there something that the auditors would have looked at to see that kind of huge difference does not occur in the future in terms of controls and processes?
So let me answer this. In that particular year that you're talking about, they were well aware when they came in that we had some account payable issues. We had an account, and the board was well aware, as well as Dr. Marseille, that we had an accounts payable clerk that because of our strong controls that we found that there were some issues with her. It took us a while to clean that up. Then there was a lack, but we did not have an accounts payable person. So there were a lot of expenditures that got put on the books during that June, July, August period before we closed out. But the auditors were well aware of that when they first come in. They don't come in until, because they come in
question I was trying to raise was, if they were aware of that, is that something they would look into the future in terms of controls, or that isn't part of their engagement letter to determine those kind of weaknesses when they come in?
Well, I guess we would have identified the weakness if it wasn't caught, and we had to do it through an audit adjustment. And we were working with the final numbers that carry both everything in and make sure that there was a good cut off.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the public, follow-up from the board? And motion. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Roddy.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.